If it was that and somebody just put like an Ulamog into play, there's at least like things you can do. But the fact that you could like turn three, cast an Ulamog, and like exile two things was just fucked.
Yeah, like, hey, you know what? At least they learned their lesson. They haven't done anything like that since.
It's been a long pandemic, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember the last time that I played cards in person. These days haven't gone by fast. And it's one more day of playing webcam, and one more match on MTGO. As soon as someone lets me play it in store, I'm gonna go na 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 na. Yeah. I smell game stores in the summer, and the feeling that the ventilation could use some work. When I'm all alone inside my living room, all I wanna do is cast paper berserk. And I can finally put away my webcam, and I'm deleting my MTGO. Another opening of Magic Stronghold. I'm gonna go na 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 na. Na 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 na, yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast. It feels like nature is healing because we're once again waiting to see if Card Titan will announce anything about Eternal Weekend. just trying to book some time off, you know, just organize my life, whatever. My name is Quinn Amore. I'm here as always with my co-host. I'm gonna like switch it up again. Who did last? Jeff Kinsey.
Oh, hello. Hello. I woke up. I'm here.
I feel like we can like banter now because that's what Kevin did last time.
Oh, perfect. I'm locked in. So typically I think it's fair to blame Card Titan here because this is just classic Eternal Weekend things. But here I think is Magic Online carrying the torch of Eternal Weekend. I think this is all under their purview, just not telling us what the hell's going on.
Yeah, like they must know, right?
They have to. But I mean, also, if you look at the last couple weeks of the God accounts, like what did you just post today that you found out that
the last week of God
accounts is last week?
Ended today.
Like there's no notice aside from being buried in an article that's describing it very poorly.
Oh, sorry. I almost forgot. We're also here with our other co-host, as always, Brendan McBain. McBain, what's up? Oh, wow. Sorry. I didn't see you there. The Zoom window was minimized and...
Hi guys, how's it going?
It's going good. We kind of jumped into housekeeping, so why don't we jump back into that? Eternal Weekend will be Halloween weekend, I think. Last year was split though, right? They threw us a curveball last year.
Last year it was, if I remember correctly, it was like a week leading into the weekend, right?
Yeah, because, well, and Legacy and Vintage were on separate weekends.
That's right, it was 2 weeks.
You got the God accounts for like 2 full weeks, which was awesome.
That was a good deal. If that happens, there will absolutely be another Canthresh stream.
I have so much vacation time that I haven't used because I haven't gone anywhere again.
Yep.
And I rolled vacation over from last year. I'll just take a week off. Like,
I just had to book mine because the same thing. It's like I have excess carryover because I didn't do anything last year. And now I have 3.5 weeks off in December. And what am I doing? Nobody knows. And the days that I don't have off are the days everybody's booking off. Like between Christmas and New Year's, I have to work those because I have to cover everybody.
I get Christmas and New Year's off. Like my office just closes down. Damn. I have 13.5 additional days to use in the last 3 months of the year. My boss is like, you need to take these. I'm like, yeah, sorry. It's my bad.
Don't blame me. Blame Card Titan.
Yeah.
You know, this is actually a good reminder. Like, I just had the talk too, where it's like, hey, you have a bunch of extra time. And because I had to cancel, you know, Puget Sound Battleground and a couple other things that I had going. So maybe I just actually play this Eternal Weekend. That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, if it follows last year, there'll be some qualifier stuff, like maybe mid-afternoon during the week. And then the actual event will be, you know, Saturday or Sunday or whatever. And if you are planning on playing it, whenever they announce this, pre-reg early and actually register for it in the client, so you don't get burned like a friend of ours who, you know, cleared time with work and with the wife and the whole day, and then didn't squeak in.
Is that called like the Taylor effect? Is that
very unfortunate?
Yeah. So last year, Legacy was the 16th to 18th.
Oh yeah.
So there's three events over the weekend, and then Vintage was the 24th to the 26th, three events.
So in theory, coming up pretty soon.
Man, they can't just do it on the 15th, right? Like the 14th or whatever it is. 15th, it'd be 16th, I guess, right?
Who the fuck knows?
Like, just give me, like, I could book work off. If you told me today, I could book work off like that week leading up.
I think the nice thing is that the way this stuff's been going with other pieces of information is that as soon as we finish recording this and all go to bed, you know, happy, thinking of the work we did talking about this, in between that restful sleep and when the episode comes out, WotC will publish perfect information as to what's happening.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
There is some housekeeping, though. An event that we know is firing, know is happening, and knew ahead of time.
Yeah, this fucking rules. Magic. Dun, 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 dun. Stronghold. Dun, 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 dun. Thursday night, 6 p.m. In-store paper play is back. Pre-reg only. So if you're planning on attending, please pre-reg on the Stronghold website.
If you're planning on attending, it's too late. You by the time you hear this, because it's Tuesday, and come on, it took us like 2 weeks to get the last episode out. So 2 days, come on.
This is an evergreen reminder. And yeah, we're worth noting on top of that too. It's a max of 16 people. So very, very cool for paper play to finally be coming back.
On that note, do either of you guys have extra cards of Thespian Stage? Preferably Great Gatecrack?
No.
McGranger said you do?
No, I just have my normal four.
Okay. Do you need them on Thursday? Are you going to be lent?
I could lend you them if you'd like to use them.
Okay, I might need two because Stronghold only has one on their website. And if they don't have like any just kicking around, then I need two more to play with.
Are you playing Death?
Hell yes, I am.
Oh, yes.
I have, baby. Do you want to hear my cart right now? two Dark Depths, one Thespian Stage, two Old Border Vampire Hexmage.
Oh, yeah.
And two copies, moderately played, Urza Saga, Ill-Gotten Gains.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have the LEDs?
Yeah, four. I play Ant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. This is degenerate hours.
How many times will I fuck up an Ill-Gotten Gains loop on our first night back in Paper Legacy? I don't know, but I hope it's a lot. Like, I want to cast it and mess it up. That's so true. Good. We're back.
Ill-Gotten Gains fucking rules.
Are you playing on Thursday, Jeff?
I was planning on it and I registered, but as noted, Roy's got some surgery, so I gotta stay home and make sure he's doing all good because Gravine's out of town.
to be dropped from the event, like a responsible person?
Well, so I emailed the store and I said, like, hey, you know, I can't make it. This was yesterday. I was like, I can't make it. Can you just convert my purchase to like credit or something? They haven't even emailed me back. So we'll see.
If I get a buy because it's around an odd number.
You're welcome.
I will be forever in your debt because that will be the only win I have for the night.
Because it'll be 1 in 3. It'll be great.
It's my only shot for... Yeah.
Speaking of doing really poorly, do we want to talk about a little event that we did this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about the first maybe annual, maybe semi-annual, maybe never, maybe when we feel like it, Canadian Threshold Open?
Well, this was a Canadian Threshold close. This is a Canadian Threshold Invitational.
Yeah, Canadian Threshold Bubble Invitational, yeah.
This was great. So, I mean, just for some information, anybody who listened to the last episode or seen information knows that the border didn't open in time for us to attend Puget Sound Battleground. And I've been doing an ongoing battle of my own with my building, trying to get access to the amenities room to host smaller events. Now that, you know, we can kind of see a group of people and this is like a big enough room to have people to draft or whatever in, as opposed to just cramming around the table in my apartment. And I got the room. So next step, clearly we need to have our own event. So we had an 8-person Canadian Threshold Invitational, very exclusive. If you didn't get the invites, I'm sorry. Obviously with COVID and size restrictions and stuff, it was a little hard, and pay attention for the next one whenever that happens. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. Seeing people playing Paper Magic, three round Swiss, cut the top 4 action.
Was that an intentional dagger there? Like, sorry if you didn't get invited. Keep your eyes peeled for the next one. Maybe. May the odds forever be in your favor.
You got to dangle it. You got to keep them out there. Keep the hook out there. So, other attendees of the event. Spoiler, Quinn and McBain were both invited, unfortunately. What'd you guys think? Did you have fun? What'd you play?
Quinn?
Can we go first?
Well, I guess we can go in order of ranking. So,
Jeff, I should start then.
Well, no, you were already kind of talking. So, like, we'll work from the bottom up. So I was the literal next position.
Jeff played a commander deck. Well, at least that's what it looked like when I cut.
Yeah, Jeff, you were on your Pokemon white deck. Is that right?
This was the unveiling. This was the first time I've actually played it all. Still minus one Caracas, but like I purchased everything. So this was the first time I got to actually play with it all.
I don't want to like recap the entire day. Because if we recapped our one match, we'd be here all night. But just a few quick asks, how many times did we forget to reveal your companion?
I never forgot to reveal. I was on board on top of it for that. However, I think I played, let's see, I played 5, 7. I think I played 10 games of Magic. And wait, does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
Well, when you're playing your deck, like half your games are non-games, right?
Yeah, you could play 10 games because we played three rounds. Oh, no, we played 3 rounds of Swiss, right?
Yeah,
no,
I don't know. I played some number of games of Magic, and I think there was only one game I didn't shuffle my Orion into my deck when I was, like, sideboarding. I always caught it before, you know, we started, but it was like, you do it, and you're just like, ah, oh, fuck. You gotta go digging through there. So not looking forward to that as like, you know, more serious paper play starts.
So I was on lands. I knew the people attending and I really knew I shouldn't play lands because it was just like the literal worst metagame choice. Because I knew there was going to be a bunch of show and tells in the room and that's just not what you want to go up against. And then also a storm player on something. And those are all just atrocious matchups. So I was like literally putting myself as like 1% to even do well in the day. compared to my average of 3%. So that's a big cliff from three. But in the end, I was like, you know what? I haven't played Lands in a while. It's a cool deck. Let's have some fun. And I played it and I had some fun. It was great. I didn't play any Show and Tell decks. I did play against the Jeskai Sagavan deck, which was pretty close. I could have played better and probably won, but it was pretty sloppy. But then, Jeff, you and I had a great one as well. And that was, you were pretty sloppy, if I do have to say.
Yeah.
There was definitely a couple of ones where, like, your timing, like, if this was Magic Online, I don't know, you would have been, like, clicking through attack phases and, like, missing ports on upkeep and all
sorts of things. I did so many things in the entire event at, like, the least ideal time. Like, you know when you have, like, the level one of, like, do the thing. You know, I'm gonna wasteland their land. And then you have the level two of like, well, I should do it in their upkeep. So if they have to do something, they have to spend mana to do it. I just like never got beyond the like Grok smash. I had a wasteland in my hand and I was very excited to use it. And like it's one of those things where normally it's like, you know, marginal edges. It's like only if they have this specific card does it matter. But like every single time I did it, it's like, oh, they have crop rotation. Like this is just actively terrible.
Yeah, you were just immediately punished on all your plays.
Wasteland anybody in paper in so long, and it feels good to like, get that land the fuck out of here. Take that shit off the table.
Wow, that was a lot of
pent up
wasteland emotion there. Okay, so I don't think we need to go into our day too much more. We got to play, like, I had my perfect hard double sleeve lands deck, which was like the same size as your D&T companion deck. We had a great time. Played some wastelands. Quinn, you were not on the wasteland train. You were on the playing powerful spells game. Give us a little check in on how you did.
Yeah, so the day before, I sleeved up Infect, and I looked at it, and I was like, I think in the first time I play paper again, I want to play the old standby. And then I actually thought of you both, and I was like, I think D&T is still favored, but then you have Solitude, you just have so many cards too, you can just play a 4-5, you know, out of nowhere if the game goes long. And I'm like, McBain, he'll probably play lands, or he'll scum us all and play Reanimator. And either way, it's not great. And I'm like, I'm just going to do something. I'm just going to go over the top of the other members of the Canadian Threshold. And so I sleeved up Bant and Omni, put Teferi's in my deck, put Quaddles in my deck, and I sleeved up my old but brand new to me Japanese Show and Tells that I got from Tristan O'Loughlin. Which also helped push me in that direction because I wanted to slam those onto the table.
Got to flex a little bit, right?
Yeah. And just decided that I would, like, you know, Cunning Wish is to kill people. And it felt great. Felt great.
That's surprising because it seems like it would have felt fucking awful.
Just, I don't know, man. Have you ever put Omniscience to play before? Like, looked at your opponent and then, you know, especially because all friends, people I love, you know, and they just look sad and you're like, wow, am I a bad person because I feel happy? Maybe. Cunning Wish, kill you.
You just played the green version, like, did you have like Teferi's and stuff in your deck?
Yeah, I had three copies of Teferi. I know copies of Uro.
Did you have Venser?
I did not have a Venser, but I had one. The fairy guy, what's his name, Brazenbrower.
I was trying to think of another fairy guy to be a smartass about, and I lost it.
One's just one copy of Spellsurge Sprite. to on the play get a Ragavan.
Oh, baby.
And then lose to Days.
Nathan, friend of the show, he's been a big advocate and big proponent and kind of brewer of the blue-white Omni version. And I remember playing against him on webcam, and he like resolves it to fairy, gets the Show and Tell into play, and then like Venser's his Teferi and just starts drawing his deck to like replay the Teferi, bounce the Venser, replay the Venser, bounce the Teferi, and just start drawing. And I was like,
I suppose okay. That works, but is there no better way to do this when you have an omniscience in play than playing a 4-mana creature? Like,
well, so you have the Caracas. So the Caracas has like all this extra value just from like being mm-hmm. Caracas. But then you just have this one Venser in your deck, and it opens. It's kind of like what I was saying last week with the LED and Painter, where it's just like, hey, if you add this one card in, you get a bunch of new cool lines to do. But you also get the I Venser your card randomly. Like your opponent's like, I'm going to play my Uro. And you're like, no, you're not. Back to your hand.
Also, Jeff, you say like, you know, can't you do something better than play this 4-mana, 3-mana combo? Except when we played and I was like, all I have is this Coatl to get going here. And I have to tell this too. I had a Source of Plowshares. I put in my Omni. You put in a Spirit of the Labyrinth, which was fucking great, if not for the Source of Plowshares.
Would have been good.
And I just fired that swords right through that spirit's heart. And then I was like, well, here we go. Coatl. Ooh. Ponder. Ooh. Preordain. Bottom, bottom. Ooh, Brainstorm. I think I saw like 20 cards, and I passed the turn. And if you draw your whole deck, that doesn't happen. So I will say that for the Venser Teferi line.
That's fair. Don't remind me of those games anymore. Those are sad. There's nothing more sad than like you bring in Mindbreak Trap against like Show and Tell. Like, it's not great, but you know, it's something you can do. And then when your opponent just goes like basic, cast Show and Tell, you're like, fuck me.
If you had the Thalia, it would have been basic.
Yeah. Shit, almost.
This is funny because, so I was just thinking of YouTube and being like, I want to go on the podcast and be like, I was the number one member of the Canadian Threshold. And you know, obviously we knew who was coming. I don't think anyone's metagaming that hard, and I made a joke about that, but I was just kind of like, I want to play Omni. I'm going to do it. What I did not think of was that Tristan Laughlin was obviously going to be on Sneak and Show, which is a horrendous mirror match because they have a whole other win condition that you don't have. And also sometimes your win condition backfires. And I was like, oh, this is great. I was like looking around the room and everyone there and being like, I could be that person. I could be that person. I'm like, Storm's a little tough, but this is great. And then Tristan walks in and I'm like, oh shit, Sneak Attack. Wow. That's a really good card against me. And it was.
So it was literally a Sneak Attack. You just walked in the room and you're like, oh no.
I mean, it wasn't a Sneak Attack because I knew he was coming. It's a Sneak Attack like Pearl Harbor was.
Really?
Like, he sent a declaration of war and I just couldn't translate it. And then I got exploded.
I think talking about Tristan and you playing Tristan, I think my favorite part of the day for me was McBain and I going to game three in our match. Round three, we're in game three. This is to determine who's seventh and eighth. And this game's going long. And it's also the only round they didn't bother to set a round timer. And these guys are over at us, and they need to know who wins because it affects their standings in the top four. So Quinn maybe isn't paired against Tristan.
Yeah, and they're like, why don't we just roll for it? I'm like, no. Like, we'll wait for them to finish.
It's so funny. Because it was like, I got this locked up. 5 more minutes maximum. And then it's like, boys, I need another 20.
And Quinn, to be fair, there was a moment where Jeff and I looked at each other and we're like, it was kind of like that, does one of us concede to make Quinn play against Tristan again? And we definitely kind of like, discussed it for a brief moment and it was like, okay, let's keep playing.
I just really didn't want to run into both co-hosts in the 3-round Swiss and lose to both of them.
Alas.
Yep, but I did.
So Green Post, Akash on Green Post took the whole thing down. And this is kind of like his namesake deck almost. He's got his Candelabras, big green creatures, and Eldrazi, and just went to town.
Also like an unupdated Green Post. I think the newest card in there is Force of Vigor. Or is that the right one? The green one? Force of Vigor?
What came out, I think what came out newest... after? Force of Vigor or Reclaimer?
No, the newest card in there was the one he printed off the night before because he hadn't bought cards in a year.
But did you see what cards he had proxy? This is great.
Yeah, he proxied Reclaimer.
He has Candelabras and main deck Tabernacle. And then right next to that is like a proxied Primeval Titan.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yes, yeah, I just mean newest as in they were created most recently.
Newly minted. Printer.
Yeah. I think Reclaimers probably was the newest card because he proxied Reclaimers too.
Who knows? Reclaimers is one of those cards where listening to like receivables, they do a thing where it's like that card's from this set. Nobody can name what set Reclaimers from. It doesn't like mechanically have to do with anything.
It's M20, right?
Is it?
Pretty sure.
Fuck.
Yeah, M20. Sorry.
I always just wish that card had better art, but anyway. Yeah, it was sweet. It was sweet to see Akash. We hadn't seen him in a long time, and for him to bust out the Tabernacle and Candelabra and just top shelf everyone and take it down—that was great.
There was multiple games where he generated at least 50 mana off of his cloud posts, no candelabras involved, and just cast the ballista for like X's, 25 and kill somebody.
So that is literal top rope.
Yeah.
I was standing behind him and he's tanking and I'm like, what's he thinking about? And I like look and I'm like, oh, just style points. Like I looked at his hand and looked at like how many posts were out and copies of posts. And I'm like, oh, he's just trying to decide how he's going to put his opponent out of misery here.
I ended up in a spot against him in like maybe it must have been game two because we did not go to game three where like he has no cards in hand, but he has a Golos. And I can't swing through this Golos unless I bounce it with my Caracas. So every turn, I have to bounce his Golos and attack for like five. And then he plays Golos and gets like a Glimmer Post and gains like eight. And like, I just locked into doing this. It's so bad.
Like, are you supposed to just draw a go there?
Like, probably. Yeah, he had some other stuff going on too. Like, if I let him do it, I'm sure he could have, totally popped off. But like, also, it was fucking so funny.
The longer you leave it, the worse the match gets, anyways. I guess that matchup.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's bad.
Here I am thinking like practicing a Leovold is the feel bads. Meanwhile, you're just. No, tutor up land, my friend.
It's like exactly what you probably choose to do on your turn.
Yeah. He fetches up his Caracas as well. He's like, here, I'll start bouncing it as well. Do you have anything else to say about kind of the standings?
We should shout out Kevin who came in second.
Yep, Kevin in second with Jeskai Sagavan. And then
he was playing the list that Ozymandias had posted the primer for and Juliet had won the showcase with. It was a really impressive list. Like, it's just, I was surprised at how good Mazavith was against it. And then he definitely Alpine Moon my Mazavith, and I was sad.
Cool.
Alpine Moon is a pretty strong card, but it wasn't playing Wastelands or Lightning Bolts. I kept like kind of preparing for it and playing around it. I probably could have played a lot differently if I had just known that he didn't have those cards, but it's a really grindy deck. You see so many cards.
It's just unending, right? And yeah,
Well, it's like prismatic ending, but yeah, it's basically unending amount of cards for sure.
No, he said it's just on ending. It's unending.
Oh,
that's why I was like, it's just unending. You're like, yeah, prismatic ending. I'm like, what ending did you think he was talking about?
Modern Horizons 3, prismatic unending.
Oh, God, I don't even want to know rebound. What that does. It like kills something and reanimates Grizzlebrand.
It has epic. You just have to cast it every turn for the rest of the game.
And then I guess final shout out to the other two players there. Well, I guess we had both Tristans. both playing their namesake decks. So we had the Stormfather.
I needed to interrupt you for a second because you keep saying namesake, but Tristan doesn't play the Tristan deck. Stormfather, I'll give you that.
Does he normally play?
Is that what you're looking for?
No, it's what he normally plays, but it's not his namesake.
Namesake would be like,
oh, okay, fine, fine.
Like if we invited if Chris Bakula responded to our invite and came from New York and then he played Bakula.
Yeah, did not respond to the Canadian Threshold Invitational.
A little disappointing. He seemed like a nicer guy than that, but you know.
Yeah, next time.
Okay, fine. Fine. Pedantic asshole.
I let it slide the first time. When you brought it up again with the combo, I was like, I gotta do
maybe
something.
Maybe I just need to come up with a name for him now anyway. So he was on his Sneak and Show deck. And then it was great to see Colin out. Colin is our local Maverick master. And he was on, I think, what I would call like a Modern Horizons 2 Maverick pile. So he was playing hits.
What a fucking pile.
he was playing, he had a Maverick deck, and then he like borrowed a Plateau and then rammed 4 Ragavan, some Endurance, and some Urza's Saga into the deck. And because he's such a Galaxy Brain genius, he like still did pretty great and definitely crushed me. / I loved 3, but you know.
A first paper vet where they have bad beat stories. This is great.
Yeah. So how, just going back to the paper piece, like, I think this is a great transition, like from a, how did you find playing in paper in like a competitive, pseudo competitive Legacy vibe? And then like, again, we've got Magic Stronghold starting up again with paper. How are you feeling about all this?
I love turning cardboard sideways. It's just so much more pleasant to like interact with a human being playing Magic.
And even like the like in between rounds, just like bullshitting, you know, birding other matches, like that was great. But I need so much more practice just with playing paper, just to get it's just all the small stuff. Even playing webcam, I'm sure you've lost it, you know, just getting used to like tracking life and shit on like a notepad as opposed to just casually using dice for this stuff. And like, you know, really being mindful of when you're doing everything and why is, I don't know, it's going to take a bit while to get used to.
And we're definitely going to be crutching on the casual rules enforcement for a while. Like, yeah. Oh, sorry. Take backsies. Actually, didn't mean to do that. I'm awful. And going from there.
The worst part too about playing your own D&T in paper is trying to find the one ofs, like resolving your Stoneforge and then being like, is my Kaldra in this half of my deck as you pick it up? Or like, or is it in this half of my deck? Like, it's physically just two different pieces now. Shuffling wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but tutoring for this stuff sucks.
I wonder if to save time, you could just like, you know, put your Germ token into play and be like, go ahead, give me a moment here. you can start your turn.
Probably. Then they go, well, it depends.
And then you're like, no. The token is also indestructible. And they go, oh, no. And get blown out.
I was waiting to get somebody with that. Like, if someone should have forced to figure me, you just go, yep. But
I definitely had it sitting in my hand and didn't do it. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. The fact that you have to, like, the pre-reg piece, I actually kind of like, because I don't know. It feels like more skin in the game in terms of like, yeah, I'm blocking this off. It almost makes it feel like a bit of an event rather than just, you know, a random weeknight or something like that. They also upped it from like $10 buy-in or $5 buy-in to 10. So now with $160 in the pot, like, kind of coming in first is a pretty big deal. So Colin's basically going to be a millionaire at this point. and then Best Kevin will probably be like driving from halfway across Vancouver to get to the event in time so that he can crush us all.
I think Colin's like reported salary to the CRA from last year is just down a steep decline.
Do you have to report credit?
He was able to claim the CERB just from the profit loss from Paper Legacy. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great to again have Josun calling time in the round and pairings are up, yada yada, and have that vibe again. I'm looking forward to it.
Jeff, you're not going to be there, but if you were there, are you just playing D&T? Or are you going to play something else?
Just playing D&T. I feel like I can't start branching into like other shit like Goblins or like Esper Vile until like I at least get, you know, that foundation with Paper D&T back. So a couple weeks, I'm sure, and then I'll be playing some garbage.
You say you know, like I'm going to do that. And I'm like, no, I don't know, actually. Are you kidding me? Just, can I borrow a Thespian stage? Just trying to find all my Helm of Obediences right now. I thought about playing Curses, speaking of tracking things, and then I was like, man, I'm going to wait and hope that Reaple Cheap decides that Curse of Leeches is not good enough, because I do not want to be like, oh shit, sorry, it's supposed to be night right now. Yeah,
actually, it's not a trigger, it just changed.
Yeah, I passed and it was night, so... We should call Joe soon.
Don't worry, it's casual rule enforcement.
McBain, you're gonna have to let me know, and I'll be there. Everyone else who hears this, it'll be too late. What are you gonna play?
I'm gonna play Painter.
Ooh,
woo!
Yeah. So actually, if you have an LED, you can bring it, please.
Should I audible into Painter so that I can remain the number one Painter player in the Canadian threshold?
No, I think you'll be the number one winningest still.
You've got a solid lead. And yeah, it's a Jeff's point.
I also just like, now that I saw that death list, I'm like, I have to do this. It's for the first night back.
I need
someone to be like, I'm sorry, is that ill-gotten gains?
We're still both painting when it's fine.
It's true. Painter is in the sideboard. You can grab it. You have to grab both pieces with Karn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's one pager and one grindstone in the 75, and they're both in the sideboard.
Fuck yeah. Also, like, that's a deck you have to play in paper, because the feeling when you go like game one and you shuffle and you go, okay, before the game, I'd like to reveal my ley line.
Yes. Someone's like, are you ready to go? Yes. Okay. No, sorry. Before lands. Leyline of the Void. What is happening right now? Chromebox, Dark Ritual, Lotus Petal. Does Helm resolve?
No, the best of the lines, you know, you reveal a ley line and then you go like, you know, Dark Depths, Petal,
Ritual. Yeah. Pass a turn.
Fuck, that's going to be sick. Have you ever cast an Ill-Gotten Gains?
Not in Legacy.
It's so good with Leyline because they pitch their hand and it's exiled, so they don't get any cards back. Yeah,
they just get zero. it's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just Mind Twist.
It's so good. It's just five mana mutual Mind Twist.
Four mana, sorry.
My apologies.
I would pay five for it.
Fuck, it's so good. I wish I was going to be there this week.
Oh, man. Like, Dark Ritual plus your Swamp, or like it plays one copy of Lake of the Dead, so you can like float a black Lake of the Dead, put Ill-Gotten Gains on the stack, crack two LEDs. Like, oh man,
good god, I am so jealous. That's sick.
I don't have the chains in the board, obviously. I'm just gonna play a third opposition agent in the 75 and hope that gets there.
God, the return of opposition agent, right? Paper magic.
Yeah, like... you're not going like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
Is the whole list is just simultaneously like the dumbest cards and so hateful? Like, I wish I had the chains, because obviously that's like, you know, the ultimate hoser. Pithing Needle, two copies of Dread of Night, two Hymns in the sideboard, two opposition agents, Toxic Deluge, Plague Engineer. Back when black was the color of like totally boning your opponent.
Man,
which was, you know, not that long ago.
What is the Dread of Night for? Like, I know obviously like D&T or something, but like why?
I mean, you're like deck super mana hungry and you're playing like LED, Lotus Petal,
Yeah.
You can't Ilgun's gains loop with like a Thalion play.
I'd just play more Plague Engineers.
Yeah, there's just so many things to name now, though.
Yeah. Can't just name Phyrexian and be done with it.
Yeah, I know, right? Dreadnought's so clean. The only thing better than your first Dreadnought is your second one, you know? But also, now there's that 3-mana spirit dude. Or spirit, is that what it is?
You didn't 4-mana? You didn't Karavik?
No, the 3-mana thing that like exiles shit.
Oh, Skyclave.
Yeah, the Skyclave. Like Skyclave just like eats Dreadnought. Back in the good old days, when you're like, maybe you win game one, game two, they don't see it. Game three, you're like Dreadnought. Next turn, Dreadnought. This is GG's.
No, man. Those are the games you're like, I have three recruiters or revokers in my deck. I'm getting one out. I'm putting equipment on it. You kept your hand based on Dreadnought. So let's go.
I respect that never say die attitude.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't cast a him against someone in paper in so long.
I haven't seen a him in so long.
It's just like, you know, especially when someone has three cards and like one's fine, you know, to discard. It's like you can kind of tell online when you've got like, oh, I got two good cards. When you get to look someone in the face and they make a face, you're like, oh, you have a land left. And you discarded two good cards. And I can see it. That's beautiful. That's magic. It's Richard Garfield intended.
I always like when you get hymns online, like I'd always like go into my hand and like drag like the card I want to keep and like hold it, you know, drag it out onto the battlefield and be like, stay here. Then it just fades into the ether.
Is that like part of the secret about like willing it, manifesting it to stay?
Exactly. I got my card on my vision board ready to go.
Nice.
Should we mention the side events at the Canned Thresh Invitational?
Like Battle Box and
Battle Box.
Pre-modern. Is that what's happening?
Pre-modern. We got it all. Commander.
Oh, that Commander game was I don't even know. I just looked over, I was like, I don't even know what any of those cards do.
It ended so fast.
It did. It really did. And I didn't know what was going on.
Tristan O'Loughlin and I did play some pre-modern. He had his Landstill deck and I had this like Groatog Gush Daze deck. And we had some really great games before the event started. I did really enjoy when Tristan O'Loughlin and Tristan Taylor like finished playing their actual legacy game. And then he reaches over and he's like, here, give me your pre-modern deck. I'm going to play it. And I went to start like telling him, like giving him like a few details about the deck. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. Like I'll figure it out. I'm sitting here trying to tell him that like there's only islands in the deck, but it's a 4-color deck. And there's islands and City of Brasses and Mox Diamonds. And you need to have the Cities and Mox Diamonds to cast your multicolor spells. That's what I'm trying to get across. And he's just like, no, just go back to your game, whatever. I'll figure it out. And then like literally 30 seconds later, he can just hear him like cursing. He's like, what the hell is going on here? And he's like using a Flooded Strand to fetch. And he's like, where's my planes? What's going on? Like, this is, what the hell is this? And then he's like, kept an awful hand. He just loses the game. And Tristan Lopez is just laughing at him. I'm like, I was trying to warn you. Why did you do this?
That deck looks like a pile though.
Oh, it's super fun though. Like you get, like we played a really long game where I was just able to like ninja in like a Armageddon with a Daze on the stack, or I got like Gush, tap, Gush, Armageddon, counter your spell, resolve Armageddon, blow up all your lands, and then start replaying lands, and then play like a Psychotog and just take it home. It was fun. But yeah, pre-modern felt like, again, it was like pre-fire and pre like any kind of things that generated a lot of value. So it was very grindy. There's no planeswalker. There's nothing that was just going to like run away with the game. It felt great. It felt like the Magic like I grew up playing. And then again, might as well just go right into That's Gas, because That's Gas is Battle Box. I built the battle box in like 2014 after I saw a Ben Stark article on Channel Fireball, famously made by Brian DeMars. And I was just blown away by it. I was like, this looks incredible. It looks like the purest form of magic ever. I immediately built it. And then I just had it sleeved up in literally the same sleeves since then. And I know Tristan Taylor got to play it a whole bunch over the day. And I think he went undefeated, but it's just beautiful, pure magic. So we should definitely link it in the show notes and people can check it out.
Undefeated is amazing in a game of Battle Box, because not only is that a game of a lot of technical, you know, you got to get your value out of your cards, it's also a game of mental fortitude. So playing multiple games and seeing them all through to the point of victory is very impressive.
Yeah. Jeff, who's your That's Gas this week?
I just jumped right in.
I know. He's raring to go. My That's Gas this week is something that doesn't pertain to magic at all, but, you know, maybe people around here will be able to give him a hand. I wanted to shout out the Queensborough vet for taking care of Roy for me. We just found out on Monday that he's got a lump that came back with some kind of like skin cancer or something. And originally the date to get some surgery to take this out was like a week out. Cause you know, fucking found out on like Monday, like stuff takes time to schedule, there's stuff going on. And after we talked to them for a bit, they, you know, started like calling people up and moving like appointments and like just things that were happening that weren't that serious. And they moved it right up to my little guy getting some surgery tomorrow. So pretty crazy turnaround. And it's nice to, it's funny. I don't feel like I don't have this with like things for me, like my doctor or like my dentist or something where I'm like, wow, that guy cares about me. But I do have that for my dog, which is nice.
Well, hopefully if you ever get a cancerous lump, your doctor will care about you. But
I don't think I'll get a 2-day turnaround, but that's the difference between, you know, public health and private health. So look, on one hand,
People's Party of Canada, like calm down.
You know, Jeff coming out is like a neocon, I guess.
I was just advocating to my friend today, actually, that, you know, public health care should include pets. And dental, it's, and you know, eye care, save. But also pets. Save.
I read this as Queensborough vet, thinking like the veterans, like the army.
What do you call those guys?
Like the legion, not the actual army, but like I read it as like the legion.
Yeah,
you know, like the Main Street Legion. You know, you go in and have beers, and there's some like old dudes there.
Sure,
presumably fought in the army, and I was like, oh, are they closing one down or something? Because I used to go to the Main Street one all the time before they closed it down.
That's where they do the like Monday Night Commander these days, right? Is it the Legion on Main Street?
On commercial.
Yeah. Have some beers, play some Commander. Yeah, can't do that at this vet.
I also now, reading the notes, realize why McBain jumped straight into That's Gas. Because in true dad style, I think you thought we were in That's Gas already.
I was already like starting to talk about BattleBox, and that's what I wanted to.
He said, "I wrote this down. I only want to talk about it one time."
Yeah.
Well, that's your best guess, McVay.
Yes, that's what I said. I said, "No, I want to talk about this, and it's my that's gas. So BattleBox is gas, and I talked about it."
Oh, okay. I was just zoned out then. Sorry, that's my bad. It's a short episode. I wasn't ready for that.
Quinn, who's gas?
We've shouted out Josun before, but I always shout him out again because we're coming to the end of, I mean, hopefully the final end of the webcam era of Vancouver Legacy. So shout out to Josun, who ran Webcam Legacy for us for over a year. I think that extends to the whole Magic Stronghold family because they also just gave us promo packs when we were giving them $0 and some of us were going to the store, but other people were just sitting at home, which was also fine. You know, safety first.
They kept my mail for like 6 months.
Yeah. They kept those packs there for us for ages, you know, sometimes. I remember going in and Justine being like, those are like 2 months ago. You haven't been in for a while. I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know. I've not been busy. It's a lie. I just haven't come in. But helped us keep our legacy community going. Also, Justine in particular runs the event every week. I'm sure he does some of it from home, but still, like, the store closes at 8 now and the event goes past 8, like, for sure, well past 8. And he's on the Discord, you know, giving us pairings, waiting for the people who are going in time to, you know, go into turns, doing all the things you do, you know, when you run things in paper. And I'm assuming the same is for us. It's probably a lot more fun for them when you're running a paper event. So Jasoon, man, thank you as always. Can't wait to see you IRL in 2 days. Or you can tell me that I'm in turns because I'm taking too long to play.
Resolving your like Ilgon Gains loop?
Yeah, trying to figure out how Ilgon's Gains loop works, just asking for clarification on the rules about Helm of Obedience. It could be who knows what could be happening.
I did want to make one more mention too. Obviously this last weekend, even though we didn't go, Puget Sound Battleground did happen to great success. I'd like to set aside some time to talk about the meta standings, all that stuff. We don't have any of that information at this point in time. So hopefully in the next threshold or two, that'll come across. But what I can say is that Bill Lee won it on D and fucking T. Yes. Now I can't wait to find his list and pick apart everything I don't like about it. But we put one down as a team victory.
And your combined record is probably pretty good for the weekend. I say like max 4 losses.
I don't know. I was going to say, I'm like, is it that good though? Because like Jeff's like really drags it down.
It was pretty embarrassing to host a tournament in my home and promptly 0-3. But I'd do it again. It was a good time.
All right. We're going to wrap up. We're going to remember this time. Where can people find you, McMahon?
You can find me on Twitter at CertainPainter.
Jeff?
It's not even a joke anymore. He's just got it.
He's honestly
hesitated for a moment there.
I could prepared. See him blinking. He thought about it.
I am on Twitter at JeffDKK.
And I'm on Twitter at Quintamore. You can find us all on Twitter at Canadian Thresh. And thanks for listening. We'll see you all in 2 thresholds.
Or whenever we write the next song and actually get the episode out.
This, for real this time, I think. 2 thresholds.
Well, actually, if we really, like, we're off our cadence. So, like, we just released one.
Yeah. Oh, now we have a 2-week buffer. So now
it's going to be like 3 days later. We're like, it's a 2 threshold.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean, that one, we warn people. This one, though, after this one, 2 thresholds.
Okay. All right.